Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing today? How you doing, Abby?
Doing good. Typical Wednesday. Didn't really do anything exciting because, you know, it's Tuesday yesterday and today's
right,
Wednesday.
Right. Excuse me. How about you, Mo?
I'm good. struggling with talking apparently at the moment. And another flare up again. Sucks. But
dude,
I can't figure this out, man.
This is the gout thing.
This is the gout thing. And it's the hardest part is like you don't know when it's coming or why it's coming. So it's like I went to sleep, I was fine. I was normal. I woke up, it felt like somebody hit me in the knee with a hammer.
Oh my God.
Out of nowhere. Like I don't get it. I still haven't figured it out. I think it might be drinking because I had a couple of drinks on Monday for Cinco de Mayo and I haven't had seafood. That's the only thing I think that might have triggered it. So I'm figuring it out.
Do they give you like a medicine to be able to manage it? Or is it just one of those things where it's like if you drink every time you have seafood or if you have alcohol, you're going to feel like this the next day?
No, they give you medicines that you're supposed to take as soon as you feel the flare up. So I took a couple this morning, but by the time it's here, it's here. And I'm supposed to be taking like cherry tart juice every day. Some days I forget though, just because I'm not used to it being a part of my routine yet. So, you know, it is what it is.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all good.
I remember, excuse me, I am having problems with allergies and I can't figure out what it is. And I'm praying it's not the dogs. There were years ago when I just didn't have any discipline at all when it came to my drinking. And I used to actually ask the universe to make me allergic to alcohol so I didn't have to drink it anymore, right? Would this be a blessing in disguise to you if the doctors came to you and said, look, you got to cut out alcohol altogether if you want this gout to go away?
1,000%.
Really?
I actually had that thought walking over here this morning because our dude from BBA, David, he gave me that book. What's it called again? The book that's supposed to help you stop drinking?
This Naked Mind.
He gave me that book the last time I saw him, and I was like, you know what? This is probably perfect timing. I mean, it's obvious that I don't know if the alcohol is causing it, but I know it's not helping, and I've already been in my mind saying I want to, because I got drinking down to one day a week. And I feel like if I could do one day a week, why not just not drink at all?
That's what this book is all about. Like, just curious, why one drink a day? What is it doing for you?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like just giving myself that end of the week. Like, okay, I made it to Friday.
Yeah.
I can have a drink without feeling guilty. But then I'll wake up on Saturday like, why'd I do that?
Right.
I didn't need that.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I can get the one, I can get the none.
Yeah, that book is so effective, man. I remember just sitting down every night and drinking a couple of scotches while I was reading it. And it really, really helped out a lot. No, it really is a fantastic book. If you've never read it, and I've endorsed it now for the longest time, is if you're on the fence about, like, oh, man, maybe I really should stop drinking, it just takes away every excuse that you've ever had in your mind about drinking at all.
And that's exactly what I feel like I need. So now that I limped over here this morning, I promise myself as soon as I get home, I'm going to start reading it today. Like, the journey begins.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all good. I appreciate it.
Cassie, I want to check in with you, too. I don't know. I don't know if it's in my head, and I say the universe a lot, but there is like a day-to-day, there is the voice inside of my head that says, you should be concerned about Cassie. Check on her today. This has been going on now for about 3 weeks, and I did, I think, randomly last week.
Uh-huh.
And you always give me the standard answer, like, I'll be fine. But for whatever reason, this voice is getting louder and louder. Are you okay?
No, I'm really struggling, actually.
Okay, all right. Are you really?
Yeah, I'm really struggling.
And you've been professional, and you really can't tell in studio, but there's just been something.
Yeah, I don't know how you're honing in on it. But yeah, it's just been really tough with my mom. She has cancer. We got some more bad news. And I think it's a blessing in disguise. So we didn't think she was going to have many weeks past Christmas. And she is still kicking here in May and doing, well, I won't say doing great, but like still going. And it is such a blessing to have this added time. But I think the flip side of it, and a lot of people don't talk about it because it sounds very disingenuous or ungrateful, is the yanking of your emotions back and forth. Mm. Like, is she on the upswing? Oh, the treatment's working. Oh, no, now it's here. Like, now it's spread. Oh, she's having a great day. Now she's got to have surgery. And so it's been back and forth like that. And it's really draining, honestly. And it's just yesterday was a super tough day. And so you take it one day at a time, and I think every day I got to look like it could be better. I've got friends who are going through worse stuff than I am, and so I am, in a way, grateful for the burden that I have. If I had to have one, it's the one besides my mom, like living in an RV, you know, the nonsense with the house, trees falling through it, not being able to live in the house for a year. It's the one I would choose, but just lately, it's been a real struggle, and I don't know what needs to be tweaked. And I think that is the hardest part, because I know, like, you know, I wish I could sit here and say, oh, I just need to meditate, or I just need to get more sleep. And those things certainly do help. And I take those steps, but I feel like it's kind of like you and your gout, Mo. Like, you got gout, and you can't get rid of it.
Right.
And you're like, what am I supposed to do? I just have to live with this now. I don't want to live with this sadness and this up and down. And, you know, and so I think it's just been a really, really rough few weeks, honestly, a lot of transitions. And I'm looking forward to being like, hey, I know I'm going to get through it. I know I'm going to get through the storm. It's going to be okay to whatever extent. I mean, my mom will pass from the cancer. It's stage 4 and it's very widely spread, and I'm grateful for the extra time. But at the same time, it's just like, can I get a damn break?
Yeah.
You know?
You need a mental health year.
It feels like that sometimes.
Not a day.
I mean, honestly,
check out, man.
Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I can't get out of bed. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I don't want to be here. You know, man. Like the quality of life, which is a stupid term to use, because you use that for like people like my mom who are suffering pain. But it's like at some point you're like, all right, is there going to be like a highlight coming soon? Is there going to be a break in the storm? Because it's a lot to weather.
Well, this is nice free therapy. Are you seeing somebody about it? Because I don't know that I could get through that by myself.
I'm not.
Why?
I haven't been able to find anyone. And I know that sounds like a stupid excuse, but every time I reach out, I found great people. I've found, you know, therapists who I think are very qualified. It just is not a good fit. And they just tell me stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I came to that conclusion 3 years ago. It's just, I don't know. There's so much. Like, how do you meet someone and then unload it all? And you're like, hey, help fix me, when there's literally nothing again they can do. So, I mean, I've been, Delta 9 is my therapist tonight. Mary Jane's been real helpful.
There is, I mean, usually life goes up and down and up and down and up and down. This is a very unusual consistency you have had over the course of the last couple of years. I think you've held up incredibly well. I'm not there with you every single day, but I don't know what the lesson is. You must be asking yourself these questions too. Like, what is it?
I am. And every time I think I've figured it out, I'm like, oh, it's okay. We're in a trailer, you know, and it's actually great. And materialism, don't need materialism. Family is important, and we're making strong family ties. And then you start to wonder, like, did I do something? Like, is this karmic retribution from a past life or this life? Like, or am I on a bad path? Like, I just... And then you get to the point when it's long enough, you're like, there is no karma. There is no nothing. Life just sucks. And this is just the lot you've been handed. And that's not a good place to be. So I usually try to yank myself out of it. But I really don't know what to do except just keep doggy paddling and trying to keep my head above water.
I guess that's really all you can do.
Yeah, man. I know that feeling of when you just feel like you don't have the strength to do life. And I hate when I'm in that place. So I'm sorry you're going through all of this.
Thank you.
I know. I really wish there was something we could do. Like, I wish there was some kind of God we could make a lamb sacrifice to and be like, for the love of all that is, like, give Cassie a break. Get out of this freaking RV. And it is sad. Like, you talked about how, I mean, you mentioned how good your weathering this, and the fact that you come in every day, and we know that you're struggling, like, we know what's going on behind the scenes, but like, you need a Gracie for being able just to come work every day and be somewhat productive. So I want to commend you. I know that, just know that we see you, and we know that we know there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and I know it sucks.
Thank you. This show's a great break. Honestly, you guys make me laugh. It's a joy to come in every morning. So this is like, honestly, even though it's work, it's a fun escape.
In my darkest times, I always leaned on this show for four. I just knew I had 4 hours where I couldn't deal with anything out there, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't email. I wasn't going to have conversation. It was four hours out of my day where it was like a no-fly zone. And this saved me.
Yeah.
There were months it saved me.
It's like you're allowed to check out of your personal problems because you've got work to do. And it's like life is like, okay, these are your 4 hours.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I've been having a hard time figuring out how I want to introduce this story because the headline itself makes it very difficult to commit to the story because Kayla Nicole, who is best known for dating Travis Kelce, even though she also has a very thriving sports journalism career, she wants the press to stop calling her Travis Kelce's ex. She recently went on the Second Wind podcast and said that the media needs to label her as something else at this point, but also said that she is admitting to not being well media trained to handle some of these more difficult press interviews. Like most recently, she went on Angel Reese's podcast, Unapologetically Angel, and there were a ton of headlines that came out that, I mean, you know, headlined a lot of the things that most people were curious about, which is how she was handling the backlash from Travis Kelce getting a new girlfriend and what that's been like. And she says she's admitting she didn't handle it well.
I could have used a little PR training and learning how to navigate the space with the media because I was going into interviews thinking a little naively, like, oh, you know, they just want to hear my story. They want to know about tribe therapy. They want to know about my wellness journey. You know, you sit down and you do an hour-long interview with someone and the headline is maybe a one sentence that you said of like, yeah, I was heartbroken and devastated because I went through a breakup. And that's the headline, like, so-and-so's ex is devastated still and she's sad and she's depressed.
So I think this is a perfect example of just how difficult it is to get your narrative out there when the media, and I think sometimes even we play into this, like you have a job to do and that's to get clicks and that's to get people's attention when you know that people best know her for being Travis Kelce's ex. So you've got to label her as Travis Kelce's ex so people know who she is. And also, what are those people most curious about? Even if she has 1,000 other things that are just as interesting going on.
Before I form and communicate a strong opinion on this, a little backstory here. Wasn't she sort of capitalizing on the fact that she was Travis's ex-girlfriend? Wait, like, that's how we know about her?
My personal opinion is that she wasn't capitalizing on it. I haven't seen any evidence that she was trying to make a buck or anything out of being his ex. Now, maybe what during the relationship did she use her notoriety that anybody would use for having a high profile boyfriend or girlfriend? Sure, but I don't know. I didn't see
anything.
This is
not how I recall it.
Yeah, I don't know if she was capitalizing because I don't know if there was any capital per se, but she was definitely using it to her advantage. Like that's how we knew who she was. And when you were doing the interviews and when you were in the relationship, you were speaking to the relationship, which the truth of the matter is we do know you because of right. Travis Kelce. So I get that she wants to get away from it. I respect it, but that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it is a little naive to think that that was sort of the reason why she came to fame, that we knew who she was, right? And you're not allowed to really pick and choose when you want that narrative to not be talked about again.
Exactly.
I get it. Like, I mean, you can't take the benefits without some of the negative parts, which is you're going to be known as somebody's ex for a really long time until you do something that overshadows the notoriety that comes with having dated a three-time, or however many times he's won the Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And
that's hard to do.
I know, and that's tough, and I really feel for her because I'm sure she, in some ways, just felt totally stomped on by the media, and it's tough to figure out how you are going to do anything that's going to now overshadow all those big headlines.
Yeah, and she certainly can't feel this right now, but this is all good for her.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, this is all, I mean, I know that she's going through some pain here and anxiety about the whole thing and wishes the narrative now would pivot, but this is all good for her. This is, at some point or another, will help her in the future, but when you're going through it, man, it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. Media works both ways. Yep. Look, you can't have it one way without the other. You got to take what comes with it from both sides, and eventually, like, I agree with Bert, she'll realize it's a lot of people that would give up a lot to be in her position for people to have that kind of platform. So use it to your benefit until you can't anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, look what Kim Kardashian did with that tape. I mean, I think most people now know her for Skims or whatever. And sure, that's always going to kind of hang in the background. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are always going to know that she got her start. But at the end of the day, like, Kim Kardashian was able to turn that lemon into lemonade.
And how could she? That is very naive to think that it's not going to be used in a clickbait fashion. Like, of course, she's in a studio. It's everybody's job to give a headline that they're going to listen to the entire interview. So it's very naive to think that that wasn't going to happen.
Exactly. All right. Well, speaking of exes, there's a photo going viral from this year's Met Gala. And it has everything to do with Miley Cyrus and one of her exes that is now rising to fame, where I definitely don't think we would call him Miley Cyrus's ex. Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is in the most recent season of The White Lotus and is in some very controversial headlines. He actually dated Miley Cyrus about 10 years ago in 2015. Yeah, for 5 months. They were an item for a while during her Bangers era, kind of a very iconic era for all the Miley Cyrus fans. And at the Met Gala, they were both there. And there's this photo, which is so perfectly shot. I'm sure whoever took it is like kicking themselves for how viral it's getting, because it's this photo of Miley Cyrus. She's being like lit up by the photography flashes and like everybody in the background is kind of fading into it. But then you see Patrick Schwarzenegger, who she dated, kind of behind her and to her left, gazing at her like, oh, that's my, I'm like about to run into my ex. Now, people don't know if they actually had a conversation while they were at the Met Gala, but if you haven't seen the photo yet, it is, it looks like it could be like the cover of a book or the cover of an album where you're talking about an ex who can't forget you.
Can I pivot 1 second here on the Met Gala here and ask you a question? Because it really was the storyline that I was sort of really into. And it kind of just went away. The dress that the member from Blackpink was wearing.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I would call it a dress, but the unitard she had on with the blazer over it that Pharrell designed.
Right, and the accusation there was because there were sort of like some faces on her parts that could have been Rosa Parks, right? And Mo and I felt very uncomfortable about like zooming in on the pictures on her body. And the whole story just kind of went away. Did she ever comment on it, and were those pictures of Rosa Parks?
Oh, no, the photos are, and the story hasn't gone away yet, because people are trying to get a word from Pharrell, who designed it with Louis Vuitton, as to whether or not it is Rosa Parks and or other important women of color in history. Yeah. And he hasn't commented on it yet. So we don't know. But I have a feeling maybe that was his intention. And now he's like, oh, people didn't like it as much as I thought they were going
to
like it.
Pharrell doing the Homer Simpson right now. He's backing out.
Going straight to the bushes. Yeah,
so would you have somebody around you that's like, dude, are you sure you want to do that?
I don't know if that's a great idea.
On the bikini bottoms were out, wild. Really? All right, people are saying SNL's most recent guest host did a better job than most of their regular cast members and writers. I'm going to play their star-studded opening monologue on your next E-Buzz and the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It's a tale as old as time. Girl goes to New York City, has a steamy makeout session with a guy. He turns it into a country music hit 2 years later. Heard it once, heard it a million times.
This is the start of a rom-com for my friend. This is actually a story about New Year's Eve, a wedding we went to about 2.5 years ago in Miami on New Year's Eve. It was, I mean, everything you would expect a wedding in Miami Beach on one of the rowdiest days of the year to be. I mean, this is, I look back at this wedding like it's a scene out of The Hangover. I mean, the paramedics were called twice. The bride got a massive contusion. It did end in divorce a year later. So, I mean, this entire story is a lot of fun, especially this moment that my best friend from college had where she locked eyes with the bass player, had a little moment, and it ended up leading to a nice spicy makeout on the dance floor. Now, I did bring this story to the show about 2 years ago when I first started. And now we have a follow-up about 2 years later, only because he has turned this song that he had written for her a couple of years back into an actual demo, which is all fun and games, except now my best friend from college has a very serious boyfriend and she doesn't know if she should tell him, and if she does, how she should tell him. So, I mean, it was basically just a hot makeout that happened on the floor. I mean, it didn't, not on the floor, on the dance floor. And it didn't turn into anything afterwards. Like, they didn't date. They texted for a little bit a couple of years back while she was still single. And that was that. I think he had like a newborn baby. So we were like, this is a red flag. We probably shouldn't pursue this relationship. But he did end up sending her an acoustic version of this song that he had written her called Back to Virginia, because her name's Virginia. And so it was kind of a fun play on words, kind of like, oh, I want to go back to this place that is like Virginia. But she is the Virginia in the story. And now 2 years later, he has turned it into a fully produced song. And I'm going to play you the clip. This is the bridge. This is the version we hadn't heard yet. And I want you guys as men to think about how you would feel if your current relationships, because you guys both have a similar timeline to my friend, like somewhat newer relationships, how you would feel if a guy from her past sent her this years later.
Thinking back to the place where I first saw her face. There was beauty all around. So glad I went back to that town. Closer than my closest friend. She never stops pulling me in. No matter how long that I'm away, you know that I'm just gonna say, take me back to Virginia. Cause girl, I miss ya. Girl, I miss ya. Take me back.
And that's all about your friend.
It's all about my friend Virginia, my best friend from college, Virginia, who apparently keeps pulling him in, and he misses her.
At first, I was going to say I don't think it would bother me that much, but the fact that I was actually kind of bopping to it,
yes,
I kind of like it.
I'm with you.
I think that would make me never have wanted to hear it.
I'd go into it hoping it was so bad I could rip on it, but the fact that it's good is really angering me.
That's the part that would throw me. I would be upset at the fact like that is pretty good.
I was thinking like it would be so easy to bring it to her now boyfriend, and they've been dating for a year. This is a pretty serious relationship. I think they're going to get married. It's one thing to bring this song and it's bad and then you can kind of laugh at it together, right. But it's so well written.
it's really catchy. Yeah.
If it ever does see the light of day, I guarantee it'll get some radio play. So it's definitely making it a tougher situation for her.
And did you say that she has not told her current boyfriend about this?
She has not said anything to him yet.
I'm trying to put myself in the same spot. How about you?
I would feel like, yo, what kind of kiss did you get this dude to bring that kind of creativity out of him, man?
What kind of night was that? It was just one night?
It was one night, and it was just a makeout. Like, it didn't do anything. It was literally just a hot, steamy bass player makeout at 2 a.m. at a wedding.
Because it was that, then I'd be down with knowing about the song and I'd get a laugh out of it. But if it was anything more than that, I'd feel a certain way.
Yeah. I think the fact that the truth is it was one night and it was a kiss, I think you can get past it. But I might have a couple questions after I hear that song for the first time.
All I said was, I'm like, I know what song I'm requesting at Yell's wedding. So.
Has it gained any steam online at all?
No, because I don't think he's released it yet. Like, okay. He just sent it to her a couple of weeks back and she sent it to me. She said, Abby, you'll never guess who just text me. And I was like, oh my God, there's so many. There are a couple of guys from our past that I'm like, who? I'm like naming them. And she's like, no, it was bass player from the New Year's Eve wedding.
Yeah, I don't like the potential romantic storyline that could develop after this. So if I'm the boyfriend, she plays it for me, I laugh, and then I say, block him.
get rid of it. Like, we know the song is out there. If I hear it on the radio, I'm going to be grateful for it. But at this point, like, I know she doesn't want anything to do with this man. At this point, it's over.
Yeah, you imagine if he does get radio play and it does go viral, and you got to hear it over and over again.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I want royalties.
Facts.
My lips deserve to get paid.
The Burt Show.
All right, I got a question for women here. And I usually don't try to hassle you guys this early in the morning because I figure you're really, really busy. But if you want to get in on this 1-855-BURT-SHOW, Cassie, get in on this as well. So Amanda and I were in Buckhead a couple of weeks ago, and we're at this bar called Del Bar. If you're familiar with Buckhead, it used to be like the King and Duke building or something like that. And it's turned into like this really hip, cool place where all of the good-looking people in Atlanta seem to go for happy hour. And Amanda and I.
I love Del Bar. It's so good. I've been to all their locations at this point, and I have to say Buckhead is for sure my favorite.
Yeah, it's a spot. It's a spot. The food is good. The vibe is good. Either way. So she and I are nestled in a corner while everybody else is kind of mingling, and they're making their rounds with each other, and you can see what's going on there, right? And at some point, there are three girls that pull up to the bar, and it's only 6 o'clock. And maybe this was a Friday night. So for Amanda and I, our night was going to be over in an hour and a half and we were going home. But these girls looked like they were pre-gaming, right? Like the way they were dressed was like club wear, or they were going to be going from spot to spot. They were dressed to the night. They were looking good. So Amanda says to me, like, I bet you have no idea how long it took each and every one of those girls to get ready tonight. And I'm like, oh, do tell. So there's one girl, I wish I could explain what the dress looked like, but it was like this black form-fitting deal. I guess it had some nice heels to it. And Amanda's picking out things on the girl that I have absolutely no idea about. But she's like, all right, first girl on the right there. And she rattled off probably 2.5 hours. I'm like, what? And then she zeroes in on the girl in the middle here, who's like a little taller, blonde, looks like she could be right out of Nashville, sundress on, looking all good, man. Everything looked good. And she's like, I am guessing 3.5 hours.
Three and a half.
I'm like, what? Women spend that. So she's doing this with different women at the bar, and I am fascinated because as a dude, get a shower, right?
Yep.
Think about our clothes for a couple of minutes, walk out the door to hang out with our friends. What a break.
That's it. So 20 minutes.
What I'm asking from you guys is, what is the longest time? Two questions. What's the longest time and what's the average amount of time you spend getting ready for a big night out with the girls? 1-855-BIRCHO.
I know for me, I typically need at least 90 minutes, but I typically a lot like 2 hours because sometimes, you know, you've got to, I can't find my purse, can't find my shoes. So that kind of gives you an extra 30 minutes to buffer. But yeah, my hair typically takes around like 30-ish minutes and then my makeup takes around 30-ish minutes and then you got to get dressed and you are always going to hate something you put on. So that takes 30-ish minutes to spiral about your body or something. So yeah, I would say 2 hours for me. Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah. Same. If it's an event or like I'm going out for a night, like a big night out, 2.5 hours. Yeah.
Explain what is, honestly, bring me into, Mo and I, into this world.
I've seen it.
It could take us 20 minutes.
It takes us 20, but when you asked this question, and I was thinking, how long does my lady take? 2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours.
Sure.
I don't know what it says about my lady, but it takes her about half hour. But she still looks good.
I also think it depends, like, how much you can do in advance, right? So if I've already done my hair that morning, I don't need to do it again. But if I kind of wash my hair, like it actually ends up taking quite a while to wash your hair and then condition it. If you're going to shave, then you get out the shower and depending on the thickness of your hair, like my hair, just to get to this right now, which it looks messy, but this style blown out like this took me an hour.
Dang.
Wow. Right. With washing as well, but like in drying, and it doesn't look great. So if I want it to actually look good, then I'm going to have to spend extra. I got to blow dry it and then I have to straighten it or curl it on top of that. Then when you're putting your makeup on, if you have multiple wet layers, what I mean, like moisturizer and then like a foundation, you have to let them dryish kind of in between, like set in. So you got to build in time for that where you layer it up. And then like Abby said, making sure the outfit like, this one doesn't look good on me today because I feel bloated or I'm just not comfortable. So switching it out. But honestly, it's just the getting ready, which is why I think when I roll up here in the mornings, I look like I look because I'm like, would I like to sleep in or would I like to spend an hour fixing my hair, but not makeup?
I think I'm joking about my girl, but I think, you know, she's got a severe case of ADHD also. So I think that what could be 2.5 hours for her could turn into 4 and then she'll always be late. And it's always like only for big events like that, but it could be a 4-hour process, I think.
I mean, yeah, it just kind of depends on what you're getting ready for. Like if I knew I had a big wedding to go to, I might allot an extra hour in there because you want to make sure you get everything right. If you're doing a liquid eyeliner, heaven forbid it bleeds into your eye and then your mascara is going everywhere. So you got to build in some time for things to go wrong too.
Joanne, good morning. You are part of the Burt Show. How long does it take you to get ready on average?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So my example came from my courthouse wedding. COVID kind of ruined our big wedding we had planned. So I took the whole day off. We were getting ready at the courthouse, or getting ready to go to courthouse at 6 o'clock. And if you don't count me trying to get my tan on in the morning, I spent 4.5 hours getting ready. If you want to include my tan, I was out at the pool probably 11 o'clock. We left for the courthouse at 5:30.
Wow.
Now, you could make the excuse this is going to be one of the quote-unquote biggest days of your life. Mm-hmm. So putting 4.5 hours into it seems okay. But how about if it's not? How about if it's just a night out? Hey, Heather, good morning.
Good morning. P1 here.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the loyalty. I appreciate it.
Welcome. I get in the shower about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and this is about twice a month, sometimes 3 times a month, and it's on a Saturday. I get in the shower about 4:30, 5 o'clock. If I don't get in the shower at 4:30, 5 o'clock, I'm not leaving my house until about 10. It literally takes me from about 5 to about 9:30 before I'm finished with everything that I need to do. So that's taking a shower, blow drying my hair, flat ironing my hair, putting on multiple different types of primers. I use quite a few things because I'm a little older and I want to keep that youthful look. I use contouring. I use all kinds of makeup, eyelashes, everything.
Dang, 5 hours. And you said twice a month. So what kind of events are you going to? Are they special occasion nights out?
No. No, this is just for me to go out with my girlfriends at the bar.
Dang.
Wow.
Well, we salute you. Thank you for your service.
And they all pick on me. They say if they call me at 8:30 and they know I'm just now flat ironing my hair, I'm not going to be there till 11.
I mean, between you and us, do you look hotter than they do when you get out there?
Absolutely.
You better.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah,
you better.
Yeah, 5 hours?
You better.
Yeah, shine on them.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You might call it a case of good timing. What I am calling it is divine intervention. That I went to the break room to get some water. And at the same time, the vending machine lady was there.
Oh.
So we made a deal. You keep bringing in them Heaths, lady. I'm going to buy every single one of them. So we just made a verbal contract. So she's like, you like those Heaths? I'm like, yeah, I sure do. She's like, you got it. So when you guys go back there, I just want to let you know that toffee that you hate,
mm-hmm.
it's going to start to grow on you, girl.
No, it's not, because you're going to be buying them all, buying all of them. I'm going to go back there and be like, oh, I wanted a Heath bar. Too bad Bert has seven in his backpack because he bought every single one.
I do, man. All right, Cassie, an update here because your friend got lit up by our listeners.
Oh, my gosh. So my friend was talking to me and she told me that she was upset because she found out that her boyfriend kept a running list on his phone in his notes app of things she likes, like her favorite flower, what she takes in her coffee, her favorite meal at McDonald's. And she's like, that's cheating at the relationship. If you really were into me, you would just remember that and you wouldn't have to write it down. It's lazy. And I think it's a red flag. And I was like, you're insane. Mm-hmm. That is the sweetest thing ever. Like, he's always going to know exactly what you want. That's attention to detail.
I would really like to take a call from somebody that believes the exact same thing that your friend does, because in here, it was a one-sided debate. I mean, we all thought it was nuts. Like, it was actually kind of, it was being sensitive. It was like, look, I can't remember these things, so I'm going to go ahead and write them down, but I'm doing it because I want to please you. Everybody said that. So I would like to hear the other side, 1-855-BIRCHSHOW, if there is another side.
Yeah, she's just like, it's lazy, basically, at the end of the day. What? You're not putting in the effort to really know who I am.
It's just the opposite of lazy.
Right. Like, you feel like forever, as long as you can remember, you took notes on something that you felt like was important. That's what they teach you. You study, you take notes because it's important to you. And that's what he's doing. I think it's a red flag to think it's a red flag.
Right.
I feel like she's projecting. Like, I feel like there's a deeper issue here. Because if you told me literally anybody in my life had a notes app section that said specifically Abby, and then it's all the things that I love, like loves a sweet treat, loves Taylor Swift, that to me is going to be sweet. But if I feel like consistently this person doesn't care about me, they're not very thoughtful, I could see how she could have the argument that, like, oh, see, this is a perfect example of the fact that you don't pay attention. And because you don't pay attention enough to me in whatever area of life I feel like I'm getting neglected in, you've got to now write this down. I could see that happening.
Okay, I know you're trying to play defense attorney
I'm
here.
I'm doing the best.
Isn't the fact that he is writing it down, doesn't that diffuse the argument that you're not paying attention?
But what I'm saying is she might be projecting, like, this is proof now. Like, even though, like, the fact that you have to do that just proves to me that you're neglecting my emotions. But I don't know. Like, this would make me excited, but I could see how if there was a deeper issue, this could feel like a physical manifestation of that.
Good morning, Bert Show. Who is this?
This is Ziamora.
Ziamora, where are you calling us from?
I live in Tequila, but I work and I'm on my way to work in Gainesville.
Well, thank you for calling and thank you for listening. That's a long hike right there. All right, so you can...
I always listen to y'all in the morning to work because I was like, no, I can't with the music, so I just listen to y'all.
Well, thank you. Aww. You're like a P1, like the most loyal listener. Thank you. So where do you stand on this whole thing? You can actually defend the woman here saying, like, no, man, this is not right.
I totally disagree. Ah. Totally disagree. I am so for that because I tell my boyfriend all the time, like, hey, maybe occasionally you can bring me my favorite drink. And he's like, well, what is it? And I'm like, well, you should know. And then I'm like, I write it down for him, but he won't write it down as well.
So you're saying that you wish he would write it down.
Yeah, I wish he would keep it in his notes or something.
Okay. All right. Go on, Cass. Thank you.
So my friend is like, but you can memorize all these football stats about your favorite players and rattle them off the top of your head, but you can't remember anything about me. Mm. And so, but here's the thing. It was one-sided in here. It was also one-sided on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ripped apart. So Denise O'Connell said Cassie's friend is DeLulu. That man actually cares enough to not only notice what she likes, but he wants to make sure he knows her likes. And most people would love their partner to do this. Carrie Kent said, someone I dated after my divorce did this, and it meant more to me than almost anything else a guy could do. I was married to someone who didn't even know my favorite foods, color, etc. after being together for 17 years. So experiencing someone caring about knowing me is amazing. And Valerie Fowler said, how old is he? Is he a Christian? Love Dave Ramsey and Costco? Right. If so, give him my number. I love this. So here's the thing. So she saw all of this and she hit me up and she goes, I heard you guys talking about me and my relationship. Like, I know you said you could talk about it on the air, but I had no idea it would blow up like that. I am not super happy about it. And here I am 24 hours in, still stuck on it. But even worse than that, I had a realization that everyone is right. What I saw as being treated like a business transaction, and she put, you know, my history with my family. So like her family has always kind of just used her as almost a pawn in a way and like treated her very, it's complicated, but like they don't have a very loving relationship. So she's used to like people using her and sort of relationships are transactional. Anyway, she said, I thought it was a business transaction, but it's actually very sweet. And I had my personal baggage blinders on. Me? Personal baggage? Shocker. I apologized to Cole, that's his name, and he laughed. And I think I actually got brownie points for apologizing. But thanks for helping me pull my head out of my butt. And the relationship lives another day for now.
Okay.
So I kind of love this because she's very stubborn normally, but normalize changing your opinion. And she, for the first time ever, I feel like we didn't get an ask hole on the show. She actually listened.
Do you know how difficult it is in this time to find everybody to agree on one thing in this country?
Very hard.
We found the one topic.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
If you found out that one of the biggest platforms in Hollywood mocked you, would you even consider going on their show? Because Amy Lou Wood was asked that exact question while she was at the Met Gala on Monday. So if you missed this, she was quote unquote mocked in a White Lotus parody called The White POTUS on SNL. And if you don't know who Amy Lou Wood is, if you've never seen The White Lotus or can recognize her character, but she has like these very unique teeth that have spaces in between them. So it's a very like particular look.
She looks like she's from England.
She looks like she's from England. Yeah, she might be the most British looking person ever, for sure. And they kind of poked fun at her teeth and her appearance in this White POTUS sketch. And she obviously took offense to it. She was like, this is how I look. And you're just going to, I don't know. It was just a very insensitive thing to do. And people apologized, of course, for it. So she was asked on the red carpet if she would ever consider doing Saturday Night Live, and here's what she said.
What are the chances that we might see you on SNL with Wally next weekend?
I couldn't say, but also I'm not doing it.
Would you want to?
Why not? Yeah, it'd be fun. I love working with Walton. It was the best thing ever.
So she's clearly being lighthearted about it and has moved on. And I think that's the best kind of spirit to have. Like, they tried to make a joke. It didn't land. It didn't work. It was very insensitive. And she was able to forget, move on.
I mean, I feel like there's definitely a line that you can cross. But maybe it's the comedian in me. But I always felt like if they make a parody about you on Saturday Night Live, that's you made it. Like, that's a form of success.
I think I could also see, like, if I'm her, like, okay, I get it. I've been made fun of this my entire life. People have questioned my career. I'm a good actress. I'm a solid actress. And the only thing anybody can do is make fun of my teeth. I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah. I mean, if this is the worst thing that somebody can do is just talk about your teeth that you're happy with and that you love the way that you look, then at the end of the day, like, it's going to be a headline for a couple of weeks and then you get to move on and hopefully be on Saturday Night Live one day.
We really are living in a time now, more so than any other time, that all publicity is good publicity.
All publicity.
So if you can take the heat for your teeth, take the heat for your teeth, because it's only going to help you.
And if you got a ton of writers like that, where that's all they do for a living is come up with ways to roast you and that's all they got, you won. That's a win.
So speaking of good publicity, Quinta Brunson, who recently hosted Saturday Night Live, is getting some amazing publicity for just how good she did on this weekend, Saturday Night Live. I'm a little upset Kristen's not here because she really, really wanted to talk about this monologue that Quinta did, which she basically got to make an entire song, an anthem, for short people, if you will.
Sabrina, can I ask you something, one shorty to another?
Anything.
When you eat short rib, does it just taste like rib?
I never thought about it like that, but yeah. Wait, here's a question for you. When you read short stories, do they feel like novels?
Yes. Finally, someone who understands. But being short isn't all bad.
No, of course not. There's so much to, there's so much to do down here. So much to see from the view down here.
So, of course, it's like an anthem to talk about how great it is being short. You can see people's kneecaps and you can look toddlers in the eyes. And then I was very shocked to see Dwayne Wade make an appearance. But what? I think he has a good argument for being a part of this entire short person sketch.
I really love this.
Just in the audience watching SNL, and I heard your song about being short, and I felt seen.
But you're tall. You're 6'4".
Yeah, but I'm 6'4", and in like basketball world, it's like 4'10", and Shaq's like 7'1". Like, I just really want to be in a song.
All right, I can't say no to you, Dwayne Wade.
Okay. All right, I can't understand it.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you're in the NBA and you're 6'4", like...
You're short.
You're short.
Yeah, there's some big dudes.
All right, speaking of SNL, one of their cast members hosted an interview with a global celebrity at the Met Gala and got called out for having no idea who he was. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.